Okay, so we are up to Daf Chafav. Today is the 26th Daf. Only a few weeks left, God willing, until the Siyam. But we left off on Chaf Hey Amud Beis. We are on the last skinny line on Chaf Hey Amud Beis, right before the lines start to get wide at the two dots. So let's begin. So the Mishnah had a conversation about, let's say it starts raining once they already decreed a fast. They decreed a fast for the sake of not having any rain fall yet. And then all of a sudden it begins to rain. So what's the halacha then? So the Mishnah gave two different examples. The Mishnah gave, well, the Mishnah gave a few different examples, but the one quoted over here is that they were fasting and the rain began to fall before Netzach Hamah. So in other words, they started fasting at Alos HaShachar, and then before the sun actually rose, that's when the rain began to fall. So what's the halacha there regarding whether or not they should continue fasting? The thought process is that let's say they began fasting already. So if they began fasting but the rain started so early, then what do they need to fast anymore? Because they're fasting for rain. So what's the point of continuing the fast? I understand if it started to rain maybe 10 minutes before the fast is over, you have a whole day left. So what's the whole... But if it starts so early, then maybe you shouldn't fast. So that's the question. So let's look what the Gemara has to say. Tana Rabban, the Rabbi said on the Brisa, "Hayu misanin v'yerdu lahem geshamim kodem haneitzachama lo yashlimu." If they were fasting and the rain fell down before sunrise, in other words, they started at Alos HaShachar, then the rain started falling, and then the sun rose after that, so they should not complete the fast. La'achar haneitzachama, but let's say the rain started to fall after the sunrise, yashlimu, they should complete the fast, even though they're fasting for the rain to come, and the rain already came. The assumption is that since the rain only came after the sunrise, that it's still important for them to be fasting, so therefore, they should complete their fast if the rain started falling after sunrise. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir, says Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kodem chatzos lo yashlimu, la'achar chatzos yashlimu. No, Rabbi Yehuda says, that doesn't make so much sense. The beginning of the day is already sunrise, so it's a bad barometer. You have to use the barometer of midday, chatzos. So he says, if the rain starts falling before chatzos, then they should not complete their fast. But if the rain starts falling after Chatzos, then they should complete their fast. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kodem Tes Shaos Lo Yeshlimu. La'achar Tes Shaos Lo Yeshlimu. So Rabbi Yossi has a different barometer. He says, no, the 9 hours of the day. He says, if the rain starts falling before 9 hours of the day, before 9 hours of the day have passed, then, so if it starts falling before, then you don't have to complete your fast. But if it starts falling after 9 hours have passed, then you should complete your fast. Shekhin matzino ba'achav melech Yisrael. So where did he get this 9 hour thing? So in other words, sunrise sounds like an understandable shear. Midday sounds like an understandable shear. But 9 hours seems so random. So he says, so the Gemara says, Shekhin matzino ba'achav melech Yisrael. We find it with King Achav of all people. Sheis ane mitesha sha'os lemala, that he fasted, but he fasted from 9 hours and on. So 9 hours passed, and then he started fasting from that point and on during the day. Shenemar, her isi ki nichna Achav v'gomer. The pasuk says, did he see that Achav has humbled himself? How did he humble himself? He started fasting. When did he start fasting? Well, he didn't eat from after 9 hours and on. Rabbi Huda nesia gazar tanisa. So fine. So that's the brisa. So now the Gemara is going to give a few more stories about a decreed fast, and then the rain began to fall. So what do you do? So what happened in these specific situations? So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Gazar Tanisa, he decreed a fast, and the Yardulahem Geshamim, and the rain began to fall. When did the rain begin to fall? Achar Hanetzachama, after the sunrise. That's when the rain began to fall. Savar Lash Luminhu. So he said, listen, maybe it makes sense for everyone to complete the fast, and there's no reason why you should stop fasting now. Amarle Rebbe Ami Kodem Chatzos V'Achar Chatzos Shaninu. So Rabbi Ami said to him, we have a rule about before and after Chatzos. So he said, Rabbi Ami said to him that if the general rule is that if the rain begins to fall before Chatzos, then you don't fast anymore. And if the rain falls after Chatzos, then you do fast. So Rabbi Ami was basically telling him that they should not be completing the fast because we follow this other opinion of the Chatzos opinion, not the Netzach Hamah opinion. Shmuel Katan, so fine, so that was that story. Shmuel Katan, Gazar Tanisa. So Shmuel Katan, he decreed a fast because there was no rain. And again, the rain fell in this story before Netzachama. So it fell before sunrise. Kesvurin ha'am lomar shivchu shel tziburhu. So what happened? All the whole congregation got up and they were all happy. Why were they all happy? Because the rain began to fall before Netzachama, which means they're saying, wow, we've only been fasting for 15 minutes and God heard our prayers so early that that the rain began to fall. What happened? Amralhem am sholachem mashal. So Shmuel HaKatan says, the people, I'm going to give you a mashal. I'm going to give you a parable. What's this comparable to? Le'eved shmevakish pras mirabo. So you have a servant that is requesting a payment or some sort of a food or whatever, or some sort of sustenance from his master. Amar lehem. So and the master said to the servants, Tenulo ve'al eshmakolo. Give this guy some food, or give this guy his pras. Excuse me. So that I don't have to hear his voice. In other words, what Shmuel HaKatan was saying was that you think you're so high and mighty because Hashem answered your prayers from fasting for 10 minutes. No, it's that Hashem didn't. He's so upset with you that he didn't want to have to hear your prayers even for just a moment. So he just gave you the rain. So he didn't want to listen to you. So don't give yourself a pat on the back. This is actually a terrible thing that it started raining so early, because it means that God just doesn't want to hear your prayers and doesn't want to be bothered by you. Shuv Shmuel HaKatan Gazar Tani. It's another story. Shmuel HaKatan again decreed a fast in another situation. Wow, and the rain began to fall after Shkia. So in other words, they fasted the whole day, and then the rain only began to fall after the sun set, and I guess it was like still being Ashmashos. So Kisvurim Ha'am Lomar Shuchu Shal Tziburhu. And again, the people, the whole nation said, oh, look how great we are. It's so amazing that the rain began to fall after Shkia. It means we had a hard fast, and it was a long day, but we got through it, and now Hashem is bringing the rain because of our whole day fast. Amar Lahem Shmuel, Lo Shevach Shal Tzibor Hu. So Shmuel says, no, this is not a praise for the Tzibor. Ela Am Shal Lachem Mashal. Again, I'm going to give you a Mashal. Ma Adavar Domo. What's this comparable to? Le'evesh Mevakish Pras Mirabo. The servants who asks his master for some sort of a pras, some sort of a payment. Ve'amar Lahem Hemtinu Lo Ad Shiit Mak. Actually, it's mak make v'yitztayer ve'achar kach tenulo. So it says the master to the other servants. They say, wait until this guy is like so humble, until he's like so stressed. This guy like thinks it's never going to come, and then give him his pros. Then give him his food. And so in other words, the thought is that Hashem, the nation should not be so excited that Hashem listens to their prayers, because if Hashem waited so long to give them the rain after a whole day of fasting, it means he doesn't really like them so much, or he was upset with them so much that he just wanted us to be in so much pain. So don't pat yourselves in the back, says Shmuel HaKatan. Okay. Well, Shmuel, so it's a little bit interesting. Clearly the two stories back to back are meant to show us the different polarities in the opinion of Shmuel HaKatan. On the one hand, he tells people don't be excited if it rains so early, and he tells people don't be so excited if it rains so late. So when is it supposed to rain? I guess probably sometime in the middle of the day. If it starts raining in the middle of the day, then I guess maybe Shmuel HaKatan at that point would give them a little benefit of the doubt, a little bit of a praise that they have the right to be to feel good about their fast. Okay, another story. A little further. Shmuel HaKatan Shivcho Shel Tzibor Heichidan. Oh, I'm sorry, I apologize. The Gemara says it itself. So what is the case of praise that the community should be excited and they should feel good about themselves when the rain falls? Amar Mashiv Haruach V'Nashiv Zika. So he says, if the Chazan, he's doing Chazaras HaShatz, and he says Mashiv Haruach, right, the wind blows, and all of a sudden immediately the wind begins to blow. Amar Morid HaGeshem, or they say, you know, that Hashem makes the rain fall, V'Asa Mishra, and then rain comes. If that happens, if that's the immediate response to these prayers, to when the Chazan says them in Chazaras HaShatz, then that's the point where the Tzibor should be they should give themselves a pat on the back, because clearly they were deserving it at that point. Okay, next line of the Gemara, last line of the page. Masev Gazru Tainis Belud. So there was a story that they decreed a fast in the town of Lod. Venima Halal Mikar. So let's go back to the Mishnah. It's a little bit hard to understand what's going on over here if we don't look at the actual Mishnah. So the Mishnah is on, let me see here. The Mishnah is on, okay, the Mishnah is all the way back. Daf Yutes Amid Aleph. So if you don't want to turn back, then I'll just read you the story, because we just have to make sure we know what the story says. Okay, fine. So if you're with me, if you're on Yutes and Medalef in the Mishnah, so it's like right in the middle of the wide lines. It's three lines up before where the Gemara begins. So it's Maaseh Shegazer Tainus Belod. There was a story that they decreed a fast in the town of Lod. And the rain began to fall before Chatzos. Amar Lehem Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said to the people, because it started to rain before Chatzos, Tzeu v'achlu v'shasu v'yasu Yom Tov. You should go out. You should eat. You should drink, and you should make a Yom Tov for yourself. V'yatzu v'achlu v'shasu v'yasu Yom Tov, and they did all these things. And then they came that afternoon. And that afternoon, they said the Halal Hagadol as a result of all of the fact that Hashem listens to their prayers and He brought the rain. Okay, with that, let's go back to the Gemara now. So again, we're on the last wide line on Chaf Hey Amud Beis. So this is what happened. So V'nei Mahal Meikara, says the Gemara, this is such a weird order of things. Why is it that first they went out and they ate all their food and they drank, they had a nice feast, and then they came back several hours later to only do Halal then? Right, if you just started raining and clearly you're attributing the rain to the fact that God gave it to you, so you should praise Him first, and then you should go out and eat. Says the Gemara, Abai V'Rava Damrei Tervaihu, L'fi She'in Omrim Halal Ela Al Nefesh Sava V'Keres Mala. So says the Gemara, no. There's a very good reason for that, because Abaye and Rava both agree on something, that one does not say halal unless they are fully satiated. They have a satisfied soul, and they have a full stomach. And so since they needed to eat to fulfill that, so therefore they went home and they ate, and then they could go home and say halal. It says the Gemara, Eni, is this so? The Harav Papa Ikdala Beit Kanishta Da'abi Gubar V'Gazar Tanis V'Yardu Lehem Geshamim Archatzos V'Amar Halal V'Achan Kach Achlu V'Shasu. What are you talking about, says the Gemara? We have a specific case where they clearly only said, they said halal first, and then after fasting, and then they ate. So what's the story? Rav Papa went to the Beis Knesses of Abi Gabor, Gubar, and they decreed a fast, and the rain fell right before Chatzos. That's when it started to rain, and they said halal, and then they went home and ate. So how could this be? Says the Marshani, B'nai Mechuzah. No, so the town of Mechuzah, the people of the town of Mechuzah, I guess that's where that was, were different. Why the Because they were always drunk. So what was going to happen if they would have waited until after they went home and ate and drank at the break fast, and they all would have come back to shul, they all would have been drunk. If they were all drunk, they couldn't do a proper halal. So therefore they said, in this town, you should always make sure that you are doing the halal first, and then you can go home and you can eat and drink all of your delicious delicacies. And so that's why they did it in that order. But usually, one should not be saying halal first. You should make sure you're full, and then you should go back and say halal. Hadron alach seder tanios ilu. And we finished the third parak. Now on to the fourth and the final parak of Maseches Tainus. The fourth and the final parak, at least the Mishnah, will sound very familiar to us. This is probably one of the most famous Mishnayos in all of Shas, and the reason why it's so famous is because everyone quotes it. A lot of people probably don't realize that it's a Mishnah, but it is a Mishnah. The beginning part will sound a little bit not as familiar to us, maybe, but certainly the end part will sound very familiar, because it's the Mishnah that goes through the five terrible things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and the five terrible things that happened on Tisha B'Av, and the famous line of Mishenechnas Av Mimatin B'Sim, that we lessen our simcha when we enter into the month of Av. That's what this mission is all about. So let's break into the fourth and final parak of Maseches Tainus. Okay, so b'shlosha prakim b'shana kohanim nosin es kapehen arba pamim b'yom b'shachris b'musaf b'mincha v'nilas sharim. So there are three times throughout the year, says the Mishnah, that the kohanim will raise their hands, they'll duchen, they'll specifically do it four times in the day. What are the four times? They'll do it at shachris, they'll do it at musaf, they'll do it at mincha, and they'll do it at ne'ilas sharim, at the closing of the gates. What's the ne'ilas sharim? That means ne'ila, like we have on Yom Kippur, ne'ila. That's exactly what we're talking about over here. What's a little bit interesting is that we know, if we look at our calendars, we know we only say Ne'ila once a year, and we do not say on Yom Kippur, and we do not say Ne'ila any other times. But says the Mishnah, there are three times throughout the year when we say these four tefillos, and then what we say Ne'ila, and so we'll have to see what these times are. So says the Mishnah, Betanios on fast days, V'ma'amados on ma'amados, which we'll explain that in a minute, U'biyom HaKippurim, and on Yom Kippur. So we knew that on Yom Kippur we say these four tefillos during the day. We did not know that we did this on fast, because we do not do that on fasts, and we did not know that we did this on ma'amados, because we do not have ma'amados, because ma'amados only existed in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. Okay, so says the Mishnah, Elu hein ma'amados. You've been wondering so long, what are ma'amados? This is what ma'amados are. The Fishan Emar that the Pasuk says. I think we've spoken about this before, but this is the actual Mishnah that defines what ma'amados are. So the Fishan Emar, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael's karban elachmi. We have regarding the karban tamid that Hashem tells the Jewish people that were command the Jewish people and to bring my sacrifice and lachmi, my food. So says the Mishnah, v'chi heach karbano shel adam karav hu einu omir al gabav. How could it be that you're going to have a karban, a sacrifice that's going to be taken on behalf of a person, but he's not going to be standing there? Meaning, this karban is considered karbani and lachmi. It's my karban. It's my sacrifice. It's my food. It's me, like me personally. It's my sacrifice that's being brought. And if it's my personal sacrifice, how can it be that my personal sacrifice will be brought and I will not be there, right? And so what's the problem? Because this is the Karban Tamid. The Karban Tamid is an obligation on every single member of Klal Yisrael. So you're not going to have every single member of Klal Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash every single day to experience the bringing of the Karban Tamid, because that's just totally not practical and clearly not the intent of what the Torah had meant. So therefore, says the Mishnah, what do? Hitzkinu Nevim HaRishonim, the earlier prophets, they made a tekana, Esrim V'arba Mishmaros Al Kol Mishmaru Mishmar Hayam Mama. Well, because, so what do? So first of all, they established the Mishmaros. The Mishmaros, of course, as we know, as we've spoken about before extensively, there were 24 groups of Kohanim. Every 24 weeks, there was a new cycle. Every week, there was a new cycle. There were 24 of these groups. And so these 24 groups of Kohanim were called Mishmaros. And for each Mishmar, there was also a Ma'amad in Yerushalayim. And who would go down to Yerushalayim? Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. It's a little unclear. It's a little unclear over here in the Mishnah who were... I'm just going to mute. Mark, sorry, I'm just going to mute you. Oh, there's just some background noise there. Thank you. Yeah, so it says the Mishnah, so these are the people that would go down to Yerushalayim, the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Yisraelim. It's a little unclear over here who we're talking about exactly. Who would go down? Who was a member of the Ma'amah that would be in Yerushalayim? Is it the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Yisraelim, or is it just the Yisraelim? My first thought would seemingly be to say that it was only the Yisraelim that would be part of the Ma'amah. Why? Because the Kohanim and the Levim are serving in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yisraelim are the ones that are being there to represent the rest of the Jewish nation. So there is a machlokas about it. Some people say that in the each Ma'amad you had all three of these groups, and some people say that no, that in each Ma'amad you only had Yisraelim. Honestly, it does make a little bit of sense to say that in each Ma'amad you would have all three, because if they're representative of all of Klal Yisrael, well, even the Kohanim and the Levim have to be represented as well. So I hear the point to say that maybe in each Ma'amad there were all three, but probably according to the simplest read of the Mishnah, it's saying that you would have all these three people in Yerushalayim, these three groups. You would have the Kohanim and Levim, they would go down there to be part of the Mishmar, and you would have the Yisraelim to go down to be part of the Ma'amad. Okay, so what happens? He gives man ha mishmar la'alos. When the time came for the specific mishmar, one of the 24 mishmars, to go up to Yerushalayim, Kohanim Levim olim Yerushalayim. The Kohanim and Levim went up to Yerushalayim. The Yisrael shabos mishmar miskansin la'arehin v'korin b'maaseh bereishis. They would go in to there. So what would happen? So there were groups. Each of the 24 Mishmaros had a Ma'amad, and in this Ma'amad there were two groups. There were the groups who were based in Yerushalayim. Those who were based in Yerushalayim would be there in the base of Megdash, and then there were those who in Yerushalayim who were not there and then there were those who were not in Yerushalayim, and they, in their own towns, they would go into Shul, and as part of this representative body, they would do various services. So that's who we're talking about over here. So Yisrael Shabaoso Mishmar, and so in the Yisrael, there was a part of this Mishmar, Miskansin La'arehin. They would go in their own cities. They would go in to get together. They would have their own minyanim. V'korin v'masa b'reishis. And they would read from the creation story throughout this entire week. That's what they would be doing. Then we're going to skip all these lines. The ones in the parentheses were, so three lines down. So what would they read? So now we're just going to go through some of the psukim. Bayom harishon, on the first day, on Sunday of the week, they would read b'reishis. Yehi rakia, they would read through these first few groups of psukim. B'sheni, yehi rakia v'yikavu hamayim. They read through these two groups of psukim. Shlishi, Yikavu Hamayim Vihi Ma'oros, those psukim, Berevi Yihi Ma'oros Vishratsu Hamayim, those psukim on Wednesday, Vachamishi Yishratsu Hamayim Vitotza Haaretz, that's what they do on Thursday, Vashishi Vitotza Haaretz Vichuba Shamayim, and then on the sixth day they would read those parshios. So each of the days that you saw that we just had two groups of parshios, and so says the Mishnah, Parsha Gedola Korin Osobashnaim, Vahakatana Biyachid Shacharis. So the So the so of these three parashios, so there was a larger one and a small one. So the larger one, they would read it in they would break it up into two aliyos, and the small one, they would just read it as one aliyah for Shacharis. So they would read it like that for Shacharis and Musaf. Ubimincha nechnasin v'korin al pihen kekorin eshema. And for mincha, they would go in and they would like read it by heart. So they would say these psukim over, and just like we say Shema, we open up a siddur, we say Shema. So too, that's how they would say these psukim. They would just, everyone, I guess, would sit there and just say it to themselves. Erev Shabbos b'mincha lo hayu nechnasin mipnei kavod Shabbos. And Erev Shabbos at mincha, they wouldn't go in to say it because of kavod Shabbos. They didn't have the time. They were preparing for Shabbos. Kol yom she'ish bo halal. Now the Mishnah is going to give a few exceptions when we don't say, when we don't have this, when we don't have, when we don't say these verses. So kol yom she'ish bo halal. Whenever you have halal in ma'amad b'shachris, there is no ma'amad service as shachris. Karban musaf in b'ne'ilah. When you have no korban musaf, when you have a korban musaf, then you don't have a ma'amad service at ne'ilah. Karban eitzim, when you have a korban eitzim, the wood sacrifice, which we'll explain in a minute. So ein b'mincha, you don't have a ma'amad service at mincha, which my understanding is you don't have a ma'amad service means you don't have this like fancy leaning at these services. Zevi Rabbi Akiva, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Amar lo ben Azai, kachay Rabbi Yeshua shona korban shona. So Ben Azai says this is how Rabbi Yeshua used to teach it. Korban musaf ein b'mincha, when you had a korban mincha, you would not say the ma'amad. Karban musaf in b'mincha, when you had a karban musaf, you would not do the ma'amad service at mincha. Karban eitzim in b'ne'ila, when you brought the karban eitzim, you would not do the ma'amad service at ne'ila. And then chazer Rabbi Akiva liyos shona k'ben azai. Then eventually, after hearing that, Rabbi Akiva went back to teach like ben azai, and so he ended up paskening just like that. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua ended up agreeing. Okay, now says the Mishnah. So what was this fancy wood sacrifice? So Zman Atzei Kohanim V'ha'am Tisha. So says the Mishnah, there were nine periods throughout the year where there was like some sort of like a festival of wood. There was a Zman Atzei Kohanim. There was a festival of wood for the Kohanim. So these are the nine times. Be'echad ben Nisan, b'nei Erech ben Yehuda. So on the first of Nisan, the family of Erech ben Yehuda would come and they would bring some wood. These are people who would donate wood to be used as part of for the burning of the Mizbeach. And as we'll see, some of these dates are very close to each other. So it clearly wasn't an as-needed basis. It was rather that they obviously needed to have a lot of wood for the burning on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. So they would, if they didn't need it tomorrow, they would be stockpiling it. But we'll see that there was some, that there were, especially in Av, there were like three or four times in Av that they would bring it. And so we'll see that even though it wasn't, because they needed it the next day, because they just got the day before, it's just meant to be part of the stockpile. But even those days were very happy days. So again, so what are the 9 days? First of Nisan, that's when the family of Erech ben Yehuda would bring. Be'esrim b'tamuz, the 20th of Tammuz, b'nei David ben Yehuda, that's when that family would bring. B'chamisha b'av, the 5th of Av, b'nei Parosh ben Yehuda, b'shiva bo, on the 7th of Av. So again, you have the 5th of Av, and now on the 7th of Av, b'nei Yonadav ben Rachav, b'asarbo, now on the 10th of Av, b'nei Sina ben Binyamin, b'chamisha asarbo, on the 15th of Av, b'nei Zatu ben Yehuda, so the family of Zatu ben Yehuda would come, v'imahim, and with him would come Kohanim b'Leviim, all the Kohanim and Leviim, I guess they would bring wood, b'kol mishata b'shivto, and then anyone, this is an interesting category, anyone who wasn't sure which group he belonged to, so in other words, someone who knew that his family always donated wood to Mizbeach, but he did not know which family he was part of. He just got lost in, he got lost in the lineage. He knew that he did this. He knew that his family always historically did this, but he just forgot which family he was a part of. So all those people would go on the 15th of Av. Ubnei Gonvei Ali, Ubnei Gonvei Eli, Ubnei Kotei Katsios, and the people who were like pestle smugglers and the people who were fig cutters, they would also go with them on this day. Be'esrim Bo, now on the 20th of Av, B'nei Pachas Moab ben Yehuda, those people would go. B'Esrim B'Elul, on the 20th of Elul, B'nei Edjon ben Yehuda would go. B'Echad B'Teves, and the first of Teves, Shavu B'nei Parosh Shnia, so the sons of Parosh, so they would go a second time, because they already gave before. And finally, All right, and so that was the final group. Now, Be'echad B'Teves, says the Mishnah, so Echad B'Teves is an interesting date. Why? Lo haya bo ma'amad. There was zero ma'amad service at all on the first of Teves. Anyone who had service on the first of Teves would not, as one of the ma'amados, would not have any ma'amad service on that day. Why? Shaya bo halel, the korban musaf, the korban etzev, because there was the halel was said, a korban musaf was brought, and a korban etzev was brought, right? Korban musaf. Was for Chanukah. The Korban Eitzim was because that was donated that day, and Halal was said because of Chanukah. Korban Musaf was brought because of Rosh Chodesh. So you have Halal that was said for Chanukah, Korban Musaf that was brought because of Rosh Chodesh, and Korban Eitzim that was brought, and therefore as a result there was no Ma'amad service whatsoever on that day. Okay, that was section one of the Mishnah. Section two of the Mishnah is all of the Shiva Asar Batamas and Tisha B'Av stuff. So let's break in. Chamisha Devarim Iru Esav Osino B'Shiva Asar Batamas V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av. So there were five things that happened to our forefathers on the 17th of Tammuz, and there were five things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and five things that happened to us on Tisha B'Av. What were these five things? So B'Shiva Asar B'Tammuz on the 17th of Tammuz, we're on Amud Beis now. Nishtabru Haluchos, the Luchos were destroyed. Ubatel HaTamid, the Korban Tamid stopped being brought. Huvka Ahair, and the city wall of Yerushalayim was breached. V'Saraf Apostama Esas HaTorah, so this Roman general, Apostamas, he burnt the Torah. And you say, so that sounds pretty bad, but why does it get to be put in the top five? So it's not any Torah. I believe it was a Torah from the times of Ezra. And you have the Torah from the times of Ezra. That was the authoritative Torah to make sure that they would check all the other Torahs by it. And so therefore, it was a huge deal to have burned this Torah. The Hamid itself, the Heichal, and he also stood up like some sort of idol or some sort of graven image in the Heichal, in the sanctuary. So those are the five things, terrible things that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Above, Nigzal Vasino Shalo Yikansularas on the 9th of Av, these are the five things that happened. So first of all, our forefathers, they had a decree come on them that they could not enter into the land of Israel. The Kharav Habayas Barishona Vishniya, the first and the second Bate Mikdashos were destroyed. Vinilkada Betar, and the city of Betar was destroyed. The reason why this was such a big deal was because this was representative of one of the strongest cities, strongest Jewish cities of those times post-destruction. And the fact that this was destroyed, it shows how horrible the state of the Jewish people were at this point. So that's why it was part of this. And then, finally, the city of Yerushalayim was all plowed over. The ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, everything was plowed over, showing the true destruction of the temple of the Jews and everything like that. And therefore, these are the five terrible things that happened on the Av. Okay, Mishenechmas Av Matem Esimcha. When we enter into Av, we're reading this mission, by the way, we're doing this mission like on the wrong side of the month. We should have maybe done this a few weeks ago, but okay, we're still better late than never. When we go into the month of Av, we should be lessening in our simcha. Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av. Now we're going to have some halachos of Tisha B'Av. Shabbos Shachal Tisha B'Av Lios Besocha. So if you have a week that Tisha B'Av falls on, so it's prohibited to get a haircut and it's prohibited to wash your clothes. This sounds weird to us because we Ashkenazim know we have 3 weeks and we don't take a haircut or, for the entirety of the 3 weeks, and we don't do laundry for the entirety of what we call the 9 days. That's not from the times of the Gemara. That's an Ashkenaz custom. The Sfardim follow this. If you have Tisha B'Av, if you have Shua Shachabo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls, that's the quote-unquote 9 days for this for Sfardim. For Ashkenazim, we extend this notion of the in many ways of the week that it falls in to be the entire 9 days period, but that doesn't come from the times of the Gemara. That was later Minhag. Anyway, so fine. So you have the week that Tisha B'Av falls in. So you don't take a haircut and you can't wash your clothes. But says the Mishnah, let's say Tisha B'Av is on Friday. So if Tisha B'Av, which can't happen on our calendar, but it could happen before there was a set calendar. So if Tisha B'Av was on Friday, then what's going to happen? You're going to enter into Shabbos. You're not going to have any clean clothes. You're going to look all unkempt because you can't do it the week that Tisha B'Av falls, which means the entire week, and you can't do it on Friday because that's Tisha B'Av itself. So what are you going to do? So it says the Mishnah, if Tisha B'Av falls on Friday, u'b'chamishi, on Erev Tisha B'Av, on Thursday, mutarn b'mikvah d'Shabbos. You could cut your hair and you could do laundry. Again, we don't pass them like this because Tisha B'Av never falls on Friday. But that's what the Mishnah says. Erev Tisha B'Av lo yochal adam shnei tavshilin lo yochal basar v'lo yishtayayin. So on Erev Tisha B'Av, it's a machlokas. The Gemara is going to talk about what does it mean Erev Tisha B'Av? Does it mean the entire day before Tisha B'Av, or does it mean just the Sudas Mafsekes? So we seem to pass them like it's the Sudas Mafsekes. So the day before Tisha B'Av, one should not eat two cooked items in their meal, or two cooked items at all, I guess. Lo yocha basar, a person should not be eating meat. Lo yishta yayin, a person should not be drinking wine. Again, we don't drink meat or eat meat or drink wine the entire 9 days. Ramashim Ben Gamliel Omer Yishana. So Ramashim Ben Gamliel says that one only needs to like Yishana means like you only need like a change a little bit. So basically, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel is of the opinion that Erev Tisha B'Av, you just have to have a little bit of a different kind of a meal than you would on any other day. So if you normally have five tafshilin, if you have five cooked dishes at your meal, so have four cooked dishes. Just it should be a little bit different, but you don't have to go through all these incredible lengths that were just quoted. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev bekfias hamita v'lohodu lo chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says that on Erev Tisha B'Av, you have to flip over your bed. We don't do this nowadays, but it used to be back in the day that one of the minhagi avelos, one of the parts of avelos that used to be a real part of it, for anyone who was experiencing avelos, was that they would have to turn over their bed, and so that wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't be sleeping properly, and there's a lot of reasons where that idea comes from, but we don't really do this nowadays. So Rabbi Yehuda says that one on Erev Tisha B'Av is obligated to turn over their bed for these same reasons. Why? Because come the night of Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't be sleeping properly. And we do have this custom nowadays. Many people do this in some way, shape, or form. They'll either put a rock under their pillow, or they'll sleep on the floor. They have sleep with two pillows normally, so they'll sleep with only one pillow. People like to change up their sleeping in some way to make it look like they're mourning in some way, shape, or form. But the Chachamim, nonetheless, they did not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. You have to flip over your bed, and they didn't hold by that. Amar Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel, lo hayu yemim tovim liyisrael kechamisha asar ba'av v'chiyom ha-kippurim. So fine, so this is, I guess now we're on the right side of the calendar. The Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel says there were 2 days, or rather there were no days that were as amazing and as beautiful as the following 2 days. That's the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. Those are the happiest days of the year. It's interesting language. It doesn't actually give the emotional context. It just says, lo hayu Yamim Tovim, there were no days of holiday as great as these 2 days, but it seems like it means these were like the happiest days of the year, or at least the most festive days of the year. Shebehen benos Yerushalayim yotzos bichlei lavan she'ulen shelo levayeshes misha inlo. What would happen on these days? The daughters of the nice young Jewish single girls, the benos Yerushalayim would go out, and they. I'm not sure if this means the benos Yerushalayim like only the daughters of Jerusalem. Like, what about the women from the other towns? Makes it sound like it's only the daughters of Jerusalem. I'm not sure, but it's an interesting question. So the Benos Yerushalayim, they would go out in white clothes, specifically white clothes that were borrowed, because they didn't want to embarrass anyone. The point is that they would go out and they would try to find a nice husband. It was like the biggest single Shabbat, the biggest single Shabbaton of the year. So they'd all go out in these nice white clothing, but they would go out specifically in borrowed white clothing because unless you know, there are also poor people who need to get married, and if there's a poor person who can't afford a nice, beautiful white dress, that's not fair to her. So they say everyone has to borrow it so that no one should feel bad, even if you're very wealthy. And since they're all borrowed, kola kalim to Unin Tevila. Before any of these women wore this white clothing, they would have to tovel it. They'd have to bring it to the mikvah because, again, this is foreign to us, unfortunately, but God willing, it won't be foreign for long. But the notion of a woman who's a nido, she might have been wearing these clothing, and therefore these clothing might have become tameh because of tumas nida. And so since you're borrowing it, and you don't know who you're getting it from per se, and you don't know if you can trust if they were tovel it while they were after they were a nida, so therefore you say throw it into the mikvah to make sure that it's good. And the daughters of Jerusalem, they would go out into the vineyards, they would be dancing in the vineyards. Umahayu Umros. So what did they say? So we just said that this was like a single Shabbaton. They would all go out into the fields and into the vineyards, and they would try to find a husband. So all the men would come. So what would they tell the men to get them to marry them? So says the Mishnah, three things were said. Bachor, Sana inecha, re'e ma'ata borelecha. So one of them would say, this is the very good-looking woman. She would say, hey, you boy, why don't you raise your eyes and look at me for a second, see how beautiful I am, and choose me, right? Like clearly I'm the choice one because I'm so gorgeous. That's what a good-looking woman would say. Alti tein inecha benoy, tein inecha b'mishpacha. But let's say you had someone who wasn't so pretty, but they came from a very good family. So she would say, don't look at that beauty. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Take a look at Mishpacha, take a look at the Yichus, right? That's what's important, and look at my family, so therefore you should marry me. And quoting the Pasuk, Sheker Hachin Veheva Hayofi, Isha Yiras Hashem, Isha Yiras Hashem Tehitis Halal. So, beauty is fallacy, beauty is like, is nothingness. Rather, what do you want? A woman who's a Yiras Hashem, she's the one who's praised. The Omer, Tnu Lami Priya Deha Vihaluha Besharim Maseha. Basically, it seems like we're splitting that pasuk in half. So the woman who says that, forget about the beauty, look at the mishpacha. So she's the one who says sheker achin vehevel ayofi. But then the other part of the pasuk seems to be on the next part, which is isha yiras hashem hi tesal, that a woman who's a yiras hashem, she's to be praised. Meaning, if a woman is not pretty, and a woman is, or not particularly pretty, and she is not from a good family, or she's not from any sort of a special family, she should just say, you just want a Yiras Hashem. That's all that you need. And that's me. Omar Tanu Lami Priyadeha. And she would say to him, Tanula, so you should give to her, Mi Priyadeha, of the fruit of her hands, vialuha bisharim b'maaseha, and let her be like praised in the cities with her deeds. Meaning, she would say, I may not be pretty, and I may not have a good family, but I am a good person, and so marry me because I have this great personality. Okay, the chain who omer, and similarly the pasuk says, tzeina reina benos tzion b'melech shlomo b'atarash she'itra lo imo b'yom chasunuso u'b'yom simchas libo. Go forth and gaze, O daughters of Zion, upon Shlomo, adorned with the crown that his mother made him, on the day of his wedding and on the day of his heart's joy. Right? So says the Mishnah. What is this pasuk talking about? Biyom chasunuso zematan Torah. On the day of Shlomo's wedding, this means on the day of the giving of the Torah. Ubiyom simchas libo, on the day of his heart's joy, ze binyan beis hamiglish. This is the building of the beis hamiglish, yibana b'mhira b'yamina, which will be built speedily in our days. So that's the opening Mishnah of the fourth parak. So let's just do a little bit of the Gemara, because we have a little bit of time left. So let's do a little bit of the Gemara. So, says the Gemara, Bishlosha Parakim Bishana Kohanim Nosin Eskapam. The opening line of the Mishnah said, 3 times of the year, Kohanim should duchen 4 times throughout the day. Tani Osumama, those mi ika musaf. Says the Mishnah, doesn't make any sense. On fast days and on Amados, do we really have Musaf? So we know that on Yom Kippur we have Musaf, but we don't have Musaf on fast days and on Amados. So why does it say that 3 times of the year you'll the Kohanim are going to duchen 4 times? No, 3 times of the year the Kohanim may have the opportunity in one of them to duchen 4 times, but not in all 3 of them to duchen 4 times, because there's no Musaf on the days of fast and on Amados days. Says the Gemara, Chasuri Mechsrav Hachi Ketani. You're right. The Mishnah was like, you have to read it like it was lacking something, because it clearly was not fully. You have to fill in the blanks here. B'shlosha prakim kohana nosin eskapan kol zman shmis palin v'yesh mehen arba pamim b'yom shachris u'musaf mincho nilas sharim. So very simple, right? There are 3 times that kohanim have to raise their hands every time they daven, and there are those among those days that have the opportunity for them to be duchening 4 times, and that is at Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilas Sha'arim. Those 4 times. Ve'ilu hein shlosha parakim, Ta'anios u'mamados yom kippurim, and the fast days, the mamados, and Yom Kippur are all those 3 days that we're talking about. But Yom Kippur is the only one that has Musaf on it. That's how you read it. So, no, of course there's no Musaf on fast days and mamados. It's just talking about Yom Kippur. Okay. Amar Rabbi Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravucha, Zu Dever Rabbi Meir. This is what Rabbi Meir holds. Aval Chacham Omer Shachras u'musaf yish behen nesiyas kapayim mincha v'ni'ila im behen nesiyas kapayim. So the chachamim say, what are you talking about, Rabbi Meir? It's very nice that you want to try to duchen at every single one of the minyanim during the day of all these times, but the chachamim say no, we only duchen at shachras and at musaf, but at mincha and ila we don't duchen. Man chachamim, says the Gemara, who are these chachamim that we're talking about? Rabbi Huda is the chachamim. The tani shachras and musaf mincha and ila kulan yesh ben nesias kapayim de Rabbi Meir, that the Brisa says that for all 4 of these tefilos you have duchening according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda omer shachras and musaf yesh ben nesias kapayim. Mincha Neila in behind Nesias Kapayim. But Rabbi Yehuda says explicitly that you, for Musaf and for Shachras, you have Dochening, but Mincha Neila you don't. Rabbi Yossi Omer Neila Yeshba Nesias Kapayim, Mincha in ba Nesias Kapayim. So now Rabbi Yossi comes out of left field with a different opinion. It's the middle opinion. A little unclear about what Rabbi Yossi says about Shachras and Musaf. It would seem that implicitly Rabbi Yossi says that of course you Dochen at Shachras and Musaf, but he's coming to rule on Mincha and Ne'ilah specifically. So at Ne'ilah, he says you do Duchen, but at Mincha, you don't Duchen. But my Kamiflage, so says the Gemara, what are all these three people arguing about? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi, what's their actual argument? Rabbi Meir Savar, so says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir holds, Kol Yoma Taima, my Lo Pirshe Kohane Yadaihu B'Minchasa. So Rabbi Meir says, Okay, so Rabbi Meir says, what's the reason why the Kohanim don't duchen at Mincha on a normal day? Mishum Shichras. Ha'ina Leika Shichras. He says, normally there's a concern of duchening at Mincha because people get drunk. But today, there's no Shichras. Why? Because on all these days, there's going to be fasting. And so as a result, so you don't have to be concerned about that. So therefore, even today, you should have duchening at Mincha because, and I guess by extension, and Ne'ila as well, because there's no eating and therefore no concern of getting drunk. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Shachras and Musaf, the Kol Yoma Lo Shchiach Shachras, Lo Goz Rabbi Yehuda Banan, Mincha, Ve'ila, the Kol Yoma Shchiach Shachras, Goz Rabbi Yehuda Banan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're thinking backwards, Rabbi Meir. Shachras and Musaf were obligated, why? Because every single day, it was not common, it wouldn't happen for people to be drunk by Shachris, and Musaf takes a very special person to be drunk by Shachris, so most people were not in that category, and therefore the rabbis were not against reciting it at those times. But since Mincha and Ilah were times that were normally people were drunk, even if they're not going to be drunk on this day, they were against reciting it at these times, and therefore they did not decree that it should be that the Kohanim should duchen even on these days for Mincha and Ilah. Rabbi Yossi Savar Mincha de Isa b'chol yoma gazru bar rabbanan Ne'ilah de Leisa b'chol yoma lo gazru bar rabbanan. The Rabbi Yossi says no. Okay, since Mincha, you have Mincha every single day, and so since you have Mincha every single day, so the rabbis decreed that The rabbis decreed that you're not going to be doing duchening at Mincha. But since Ne'ilah, you don't have every single day, so therefore there's no opportunity to say, are you going to be drunk during Ne'ilah or you're not? Because Ne'ilah doesn't exist for every other day of the year. So since that's the case, so since you don't have Ne'ilah for every day of the year, so therefore the rabbis did not decree against duchening then. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says, you don't duchen at Mincha, but you do duchen at Ne'ilah. Am Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Halacha Karebi Meir, V'Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nahagu Am Karebi Meir, V'Rava Amar Minhag Karebi Meir. So you have this really weird three-part explanation. Rabbi Yehuda says, or ruling. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rab, the halacha follows Rabbi Meir that you duchen four times. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the nation is accustomed like Rabbi Meir. And Rava says that the custom is like Rabbi Meir. All seem to be redundant. I think next time we'll go through what the redundancy is and what the Gemara is trying to get at. But for now, we will stop right here. Everyone should have a great night.